Lasst mich vor dem Gebet.
Let me read Psalm 12 before we pray. Psalm 12. Before we do, let's just pray very briefly. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing. May you speak to us through your word. Build us up, strengthen us, and establish us. Take away what is not pleasing to you, and give us what will stand its ground before you. Bless us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Wherever you may read in the Psalms, they are so topical, bridging the whole of time, because they are tailored and aimed at humanity and what surrounds it and what is to be endured here. David, in particular, and other men of God have walked this earth and have found themselves in the most diverse situations and have expressed what moved them, came to their God and told him. Even in these days, the wicked and the proud strut about with their heads held high, not realizing how quickly they can be brought low. As it is written here, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. This is in reference to the words of the Lord, which are pure. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. A wonderful promise, a direct assurance. David has expressed his trust in God. The words of the Lord are pure words. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. God does both. He keeps his promises. He preserves, and he is with us. Also this verse here. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will bring salvation to him that longs for it. Today we long for God to bring salvation, to give salvation, to show mercy, to help, and to bless. He wants to come to the aid of the lowly, the poor, who groan. For it is, thus saith the Lord, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will bring salvation to him that longs for it. Who would come into the presence of God and not desire to be saved or healed or helped or blessed in some way? And the Lord says that he will arise and that he will provide salvation. The first verses also prompt us to examine ourselves before the face of God, because it is not always right for us to hear God's word and only think of others. It is better to let the things that are written there speak to us and to examine ourselves before the face of God to see what may apply. We should hope that only good things apply to us. But whether this is or can always be the case, God alone knows. Help, O Lord, for the godly have disappeared, and the faithful are extinct from among the children of men. There are only a few faithful ones left in the land, a few godly who fear God, who believe his word, who trust him. The broad masses are taking the broad way to destruction. And in verse 3, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. This also sometimes exists among believers. The lips are smooth like the tongue, but the heart is double. You don't know exactly where you stand. Later on, you feel it. Verse 4 says, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. You all know what we pray for. Not that the Lord should destroy people, but that he should take out what is in them and does not belong in them. There is a big difference between believing that God has condemned sin and believing that he has condemned the sinner. God has atoned for sin and acquitted and pardoned the sinner. We must always see things as God sees them and also believe as they are written in order for them to be granted to us. If we cannot believe as the scriptures say, then it can happen to us that we cut ourselves off from what God has prepared for us and cannot partake of it at all. The people who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. It would be better if the lips were at God's disposal. If we could belong to the group that could say in truth, Lord, my life, my tongue, my lips, everything is at your disposal. I am thinking of the words that Paul must have addressed to the Romans as I read this. With our tongue will we prevail. Or Paul wrote to the Corinthians, when I come to you, I will not test your words, but I will see what your power is like. For the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. That is basically the longing of our hearts, not to be masters of speech and people for whom things come off their lips so smoothly, but that God might come into his own and that we might be at his disposal. But there are also those who think or can say of themselves, with our tongue will we prevail. There are people who are always right. As long as they speak, they are always right, and no one else is. As an old saying goes, he who speaks is right. But it's not like that with God. No. We have to get used to the fact that everyone is quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, or not at all. For the wrath of man worketh not what is right before God. So it is not the evildoers who are to be destroyed, nor the tongues cut off, but divine fire is to purify them and make them fit for use in the service of God. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. There are people like that, but there are also others, and we would like to be among them. That we open our mouths so that God can fill them, so that we can offer him our praise and not say, our mouths are at our disposal, but could say to our Lord with a sincere heart, our mouths are at your disposal. But the last sentence here must not go unemphasized either. The same people say, who is Lord over us? There is a danger that those who master others have no ear to be mastered themselves. No, that doesn't work then. But here it says in verse 5, as the last sentence, that these people who say, by our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? There is one who can master everyone, and that is our Lord and Master. And we don't need to lecture or master each other. Everyone has enough to do with themselves to stand their ground before God. None of us will be so presumptuous as to think or even say, "Who is Lord over us?" No, we are gathered before the face of God, and from here in front, or even among us, it is not for one person to show the direction to another, but for God to show it to us all. He should assign us the place we have to take, and then what we have read here will be fulfilled. The words of the Lord are pure words. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. He will do it. He has promised it. We are so grateful to the Lord for His precious and holy word that we have contemplated over the weekend. There are no words to express it. When we think about how gracious God is to us, in what a way He speaks to us, there is only one thing left for us to do, and that is to thank the Lord for so much grace and goodness, and to turn our eyes to Him anew each time. Another hymn writer sings, "Through all trials, who will lead me home? You alone, Lord, you alone." Everyone stands personally before their God and must or may have their own experiences with God. May the Lord place a prayer in our hearts, a cry of the soul that ascends to His throne, so that He may hear us. Bless the lips through which He will speak to us this very evening, so that we can all leave here grateful. Let us stand up and ask God for His blessing. Heavenly Father, I thank You from the bottom of my heart for Your holy presence. Thank You for Your precious and holy word, into which we look as into a mirror, to see where we can see ourselves, where we find ourselves. O God, we are gathered before Your face as people who have failed, who have not complied with Your demands. May You take away all my shortcomings, all my mistakes. Take everything away, O Lord, everything that stands in Your way, whether in words, whether in thoughts, whether in deeds. Take it all away, O Lord. We want to see this word which we have heard, which we believe, and which we carry, confirmed. Beloved Lord, together we may ask You to give this generation a summarizing answer. Lord, it would be worthy of You if You would do things once again, as they are reported to us in the Old and New Testament. You are the Yahweh of the Old Testament, the same Jesus today. We thank you for that. The great I Am. O God, how we would rejoice if we could see your power revealed without tugging. Lord, do it again, as you did in the days of the apostles. Let mighty signs and wonders be done under the hands of those who bear your word, as a confirmation of your word. Beloved Lord, we have heard a great deal, and we thank you for it. All this has created in us a desire to see you as the Risen One, as the One who is present. Beloved Savior, and in what we have grieved you, may you forgive. May you not withdraw yourself angrily, nor hold back, O Lord, but come to us and overwhelm us anew each time through your word and through your spirit. Faithful Lord, let my lips be joined with a sincere heart to say what needs to be said, not to master, not to be right, but to proclaim your word of truth in thy name. Lord, even now we offer you our intercessions and all our prayer requests. Faithful God, answer thou shortly. Reveal yourself in a supernatural way among your people, so that no one will need to ask, where is their God? Lord, let it be revealed that you have returned to Zion, to your people, and have taken dwelling. Faithful God, we thank you here for our beloved brothers and sisters who carry your word in a fine and good heart. We pray at the same time for all those, without judging or even condemning them, who have disregarded your word and who therefore go astray. Beloved Lord, not our knowledge, not our will, but only those who keep your word will reach the goal. And so we thank you that you have given us a spiritual connection to your word. I thank you for this with all my heart and all my soul. Your prophet has said that the greatest revelation of a ministry is that God's word is revealed. Faithful Lord, all gifts, all things will come to an end, but your word remains forever. Faithful Lord, you have revealed the word to us. You are in your word, and we are in the word. Lord, may such an encounter with you be possible, that great things could happen. We have faith in you. You are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, even the personal concerns that move us, that we carry with us, no matter who it may be or what it may be. We lay them before you and ask you to do justice, to make decisions, so that your will may be done now, so close to your return. Faithful God, thank you again for the word we read, for the psalm. Thy word has been purified sevenfold, and you are watching over it to fulfill it. And you have said, I will arise to establish justice, to help those who are waiting for it. We wait for your help and thank you that we can count on it and believe that you will help us. And then it will be fulfilled. Whoever you help is helped. And whoever you heal is healed. Whoever you save is saved. My God in heaven, thank you very much for all the blessings, basically for everything, also for the fact that we are allowed to come together here in peace and quietness, undisturbed, to hear your word and to be gathered before your face. Take away all shadows, take away all doubts, take away all unbelief, take away all thoughts that could be directed against each other, Lord, and make yourself a way and wide space in our midst. Bless my beloved brother now. Anoint his lips and fill his heart. Worship and honor to you, the living God, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I think we should have kept praying. We've heard so much preaching, and we can't pray enough. We owe God a lot of thanks. I think we should have all said, as this psalm starts with the words, Help, O Lord, for the godly are extinct. I think perhaps we should all start with these words and really mean it. Certainly it was like that in those days, but everything keeps repeating itself. It keeps coming back, and we can say the same thing in our day. Gone are the godly, and the faithful, they have died out. Yes, but may God still grant grace so that some in our day may endure to the end. For we know that not the beginning but the end is crowned. You all know I'm not a preacher, and I would have preferred Brother Frank to continue speaking. I don't have a word, but I will read a little from the word. And that, I think, will even fit in with what we have heard here. It is the case in our day that people, as we've read, go their own way, talk what they want, think what they want, do what they want, sometimes even believers. But basically, God's eye looks down on everything and recognizes and sees everyone. I've already started the sermon here. It's called Respect. And we've read up to the halfway point. But there are such marvelous things that we don't read for others, but for ourselves. We must take them to heart. What use is it if we read the word here, and if we remain the old people, and go along, and perhaps do and think what we want? Then God's word is of no use to us. Brother Branham's sermons are of no use to us either, if we read them or don't read them. I suspect that most people don't read them at all. Well, I don't know. My assumption can't be right. It's not true? That's good. But I've noticed that it's often true. Well, yes. But we are grateful to God that we can be here together. Here, Brother Branham says, Miriam disrespected it. Aaron disrespected it. Are we saying that we do? These men, these people have seen the greatest things that God has done in their time, but have had no respect for Moses, whom God chose, and the things that God has done. No matter who you are, Christian or not Christian, you've got to still bring respects to God and respect what He's doing, or suffer the consequence. That is quite certain, just as it is stated here. Whoever does not respect God's word, whoever does not respect His messenger, whoever does not respect His prophets, has to bear the consequences. It has always been like that. It will not fail to happen in our day. It will not be any different, no matter who we may be. That's what Brother Branham says here. How I could say my testimony for hour after hour of what I've seen in my lifetime, what I've seen in other countries and the other parts of the nations, the things that's taken place, but I have to leave it out. I just want you to understand what I'm trying to say. You must have respect. I've seen young people sit in the meeting and snicker and laugh in a meeting, and less than 24 hours they were lying crushed in the streets. I've seen young people sit in a meeting in 1 year when I was in a place, and next, maybe within 6 months, go back to the same place, and practically every one of them was gone or stricken with diseases and things. That's right. You have to respect it. I remember a certain young girl one night in Tennessee preaching at a big Baptist church. She happened to be one of the deacon's daughters, and standing at the door that night, she waited for me when I come out. She said, "I want you to know something right now. Don't you never embarrass me like that again." I said, "God was calling you." She said, "Nonsense. I'm young. I got plenty of time for that." Said, "My daddy's got enough religion for all of us at home." I said, "Not enough for you, sister. Everyone has to believe for themselves." She said, "If I want anybody to talk to me about that, I'll get somebody that's got some sense, not somebody like you." Can we imagine how elevated people can be in their thinking, in their speech, in everything? Well, we don't want to judge this person. We have to ask ourselves, what about me? What about you? What about all of us? I said, "Go, say what you wish to. It don't bother me. But someday you'll regret it. Not long after that, I passed through the same city. Here she came down the street with her underskirts hanging down, slopping down, with a cigarette in her hand, and offered me a drink of whiskey. The same girl. And here's her testimony. She said, "You remember the night you called me there?" That was the truth. She said, "The Spirit of God was testifying to me that night, trying to get me to come, and said, since then I could see my mother's soul fry in hell like a pancake and laugh at it." That's what happened. You've got to respect God. That's all. You've got to do it, brother. That's all. Jezebel disrespected it. And remember, another time, there were some irreverent children, because they had been raised up that way from home. Elijah, after his days, of course, the people hated him, because he called that famine in the land. There were some people that taught their children that Elijah, a man like that, been translated and taken into heaven, he'd got killed somewhere, and they just buried him and hid him. They didn't believe it. So Elisha took his place. Now he was the messenger of the day, after Elijah had been taken up. So he passed down through a certain city, and the children, little children of that city, ran out, making fun of him, and said, "You old boldhead, why didn't you go up like Elijah did?" See, they didn't believe Elijah went up. There it is. It wasn't the disrespecting the man. It was disrespecting his message. He was the successor to Elijah. He had the anointing. The spirit of Elijah was upon him. For when he came back, he done the very same things that Elijah did. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Yes, these signs shall follow them that believe. They disrespected it. And they disrespected Elisha, because he believed in Elijah, because the Spirit was upon him. And he turned around and smote the Jordan with his mantle, and opened up the Jordan, went up and done the same kind of miracles that Elijah did. And even all the preachers up there at the school of the prophets said, "The Spirit of Elijah rests upon Elisha." It noised abroad in the country. I bet they laughed to one another, say, "Hey, looky," they said, "that bunch of holy rollers, fanatics, saying that man went to heaven without dying. Horses come down. We didn't see any." Certainly, they didn't. Certainly not. We didn't see any horses. We didn't hear any chariots anywhere. Nonsense. The old fellow died, and they buried him. And now they're making so much of it. Just like they would say today, the same thing. Like they said about Jesus. They said his disciples came and stole his body at nighttime. They even paid soldiers to testify that. But he raised from the dead. And Elijah was took up in a chariot of fire with horses of fire. And when this young prophet walked along there, going down through the city, and he'd lost his hair as a young man, he was going down. So these little children run behind him and said, "Why didn't you go up with Elijah, your old bald head?" And I was giving disrespect. And what did Elisha do? He turned in the power of the Spirit and cursed those children. What happened? Two she-bears came from the woods and killed 42 of them. That's right. Disrespect, irreverent. You can't do that. You've got to respect God. If the fathers and mothers of these children had said to them, "Now look, children, they say that Elijah was taken up. Now, we don't know about that. But anyhow, I don't know whether it is so or not. But I tell you, the best thing to do is just don't say anything about it. Just go ahead when he passes. We hear he's coming down through the city today, going to have a street meeting up there. If he does, if you children on the road to school today meet him, just say, 'How do you do, Reverend? How do you do, sir?' or something like that. Speak to him. But instead of that, no doubt, they had been told at home differently. They heard Papa and Mama sat at the table and laughing, one another saying, they said, "That old holy roller was taken up. Did you ever believe anything like that?" And they said, "This little old bold-headed fellow, just as bold-headed as a pumpkin up there. He ain't over about 35 years old, and he's going to hold a street meeting. Expect us to believe such nonsense as that. Who is he anyhow? He's making a mockery of himself and nothing else. He doesn't come to our church either, you see, just like Elijah, who didn't come to their church either. Maybe it's the same kind of sorcery, the same scam as Elijah. They didn't believe him. The children were taught this at home. If they had been taught reverence and respect, they would have stood before the prophet of God to pray for them. But they were taught to giggle, laugh, and make fun. So it is with the children of today. So many make fun of a street meeting. They make fun of the gospel being preached. Elisha cursed them in the name of the Lord. It was not because of the children, but because of the irreverent parents who had raised the children to disrespect God. Two bears killed 42 of the children. It was because of disrespect. God demands respect. By disrespecting his prophet, they despised him. Even if they didn't believe, they should have kept their mouths shut and not done it. But no, they had to do their part. They said something they shouldn't have said. What happened to them? Now let's look at people who had respect. Let's take the Shunammite who met the same prophet, Elisha. She was not even an Israelite. She was from Shunem, but she believed God. She saw this man passing by as he came along the road, heard him speak, and saw the signs he did. There is a story in which it is reported that a pack of wild dogs once tried to attack a little girl. I don't know if that's true or not. It's not in the Bible. It's just a story I read. It said that the Shunammite was standing on the street corner and saw the dogs about to pounce on the little girl. Just then this holy man came by. He raised his staff to God and asked for mercy for the child, and the dogs immediately left and ran away. I don't know if it's true. Sounds like it could be. I don't know. In any case, it says in the Bible that this woman recognized that he was a holy man. She recognized it. So something had happened. She understood what he was and recognized that he was a holy man of God. She was not disrespectful like Jezebel, but showed him respect. She said to her husband, "Surely we are able to make a room in our house for this man. We want to provide him with a place where he can rest. I've been watching him. He's getting older. I have seen that his beard is already becoming gray. His arms are thin and weak. He is leaning heavily on his staff. When he passes by here in the hot sun, he is dressed in a sheepskin that he has tied around himself. And here he come walking along, packing a little cruse of oil on his side. His body looked scorched and red. I pray thee, let's make him a little station to stop here. Let's get the contractor and come out here and build him a little place and put him up, because I perceive by his spirit that he is a holy man. He is a man of God. Oh, what a difference." Now, her husband agreed. He might have said, "Darling, I have noticed that man too. I've listened at him. I've watched him. I've seen his works. I know he's a holy man of God. So we will just do that." So they called the contractor and built him a nice little place and put him a little bed there to rest. And when the prophet came by, of course, that blessed his soul to see that something had been done for him. He said to Gehazi, "Go, call her and ask her what could I do for her, whether I could speak to the king or to the chief captain." But Gehazi said, "She has no children, and her husband is well stricken in age. He's old. They have no children." When she stood in the door, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, about this time next year you will bear a baby." And about that time next year she had the baby. Then Satan, when he got to be about 12 years old, his father had him out in the field one day. And Satan said, "I'll get rid of that child." So he just gave him a sunstroke, and he died in his mother's arms. And her husband said, "Why do you want to go to the man of God today? For it is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. He will not be there." She said, "It will be all right. Just let me saddle the donkey and go." And they set off. And they were coming up the road. Elisha looked out of the cave and said, "Here is our Shunammite. She is deeply distressed." He said, "Run to meet her. She is grieved in her heart, and God has revealed nothing to me." See, God doesn't need to tell you everything. He doesn't even tell his prophets everything. He does what pleases him, for he is God. Amen. Isn't that marvelous? What marvelous examples. What if Elisha had said, "Oh God, why didn't you tell me why they were coming? Why didn't you let me know?" Then he would have been shown nothing. But there was nothing wrong with Elisha, no matter what. When he did, the woman called out, "As God lives, and as your soul lives, you servant of God, I will not leave you. I will stay here until God gives a vision." Elisha waited a little longer, then girded up his loins, took his staff, and left. Then he went into the room where the dead child lay, walked up and down the room a few times because of a reverend woman, a woman that respected him, a man that respected him, and believed him to be a man of God. He walked back and forth, up and down the floor, until God answered, "Amen." Then he laid himself upon the baby, and it sneezed 7 times, and picked it up and gave it to the mother. What about Martha? She was always thinking about fixing Jesus a good dinner. Mary wanted to hear the word of God, so she just sat around and listened at him. She didn't care whether the pillowcases was changed or whether the curtains was dusted. Martha always wanted to cook him a good dinner and be sure that the chair was made soft and it was set just right and everything was cleaned up like that. But she wanted to do something for Jesus in her way, and Mary wanted to do it in her way. But one day, it was about Lazarus. Many people talk against Martha, said she ought to be more interested. Oh no, just a moment. See, there come a time for Martha to show hers. When Lazarus died, her brother, she sent for him to come pray for him. He did not come. He ignored the call. He went on somewhere else. She sent again. He still ignored the call. But when finally he came, seemed like now that she could have walked out to him and said, "Why didn't you come? Why didn't you come when I called you? My brother was lying there, sick. We've left our church. We left our organization. We done everything to follow your message because we did believe that you were a man of God." But how could a man of God act like that? We three orphans earned our living by making tapestries for the temple. We were members there, just like our fathers and mothers. You dragged us into this scam of believing what you teach, saying that you are the Son of God, a prophet sent by God, and so on. How can we believe you now, a man who did not listen when I called you? When I was in need of you, you ignored my message and moved on. I sent for you again, and you ignored it again. Why did you do it like that? If she had acted like that, the story tonight would be very different. What did she do? She ran to meet him, where he had gone, and fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's it. What did she do? She had respect. She was in the presence of God. She respected him. She called him her Lord. "Lord, if you had been here, not I sent for you." All that was forgotten. Now you are here. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." He replied, "Your brother will rise again." She said, Yes, Lord, I know that he will rise again on the last day. But he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Jesus said, whoever does not receive me cannot receive him. See, they said, God was their father. He said, your father is the devil. So you see, you have to respect it and believe it. Believe that he is. Yes, Martha believed it. There's another little incident I mentioned this morning. It was about that woman. I can't pronounce her name, who came to him at that time. Look how harshly she was rejected at first. Mark 7, 26-29, there he was, a Jew. She was a Gentile and came to him. She didn't know how to address him, but she had a need and knew that he was the Son of God. She believed it. If God answered his prayers for others, then he would also answer her prayer. She knew that what he spoke was the Word of God. If it was the Word of God for the Jew, it was also the Word of God for the Gentiles. Whatever he said, Jesus tested her. She cried out to him, have mercy, my Lord. Pay attention now. She called him Son of David, because she had heard the Jews call him Son of David. She had no right to call him Son of David. That was how a Jew would have addressed him, because she had heard the others do so. She tried to address him in the same way, because she wanted to be heard. She wanted to express her respect. She didn't just say it. Jesus would have recognized it immediately. He would have known. When she came to him, she said, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is variously vexed with the devil. Matthew 15, 21-28. He turned and looked at her and said, it's not meet for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Oh, wasn't that one? That was one. Not only turned her down on her request, but called her a dog. That's right. And a dog is one of the lowest names the Bible has. You know that. He said, not meat for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Then she said, that's truth, Lord. Lord, then she got it. For her, he was not the Son of David, but the Lord. She said, oh yes, Lord, the little dogs also get to eat from the crumbs that fall from their master's table. That's what it did. That shows her respect. Jesus turned to her and said, O woman, your faith is great. Go home. You will find your daughter just as you believed. That's it. Why did it happen? It was her attitude. What if she had turned away after he said, it is not good to take the children's bread? In other words, it's not right. Suppose a Catholic came and said, oh, Brother Branham, I know God is answering your prayers for these people here. Would you pray for me too? And I would say, it's not right for me to take away the children's time. I'm here to pray for these Pentecostals, not Catholics. What would she say to that? I can imagine she would have walked away. But that woman said, "That's true, sir. It's true, sir. But we, the dogs, are willing to eat the crumbs that fall from our master's table." See, that immediately caught his attention. He turned to her and said, "Your faith is great." It was her attitude, her respect. She respected God by showing him respect. Perhaps only up to here, this precious word. I think enough has been said to us from these examples. May God grant grace. We know there's much disrespect in our day, but may God help us that we respect God's word, that we respect the men of God, the prophets that God has placed, that we respect everything, as Brother Branham expresses it here. We see there were people in those days who had respect. I believe God wants there to be people in these days who still have respect. That is the will of God. Brothers and sisters, may God help us all. Even if we live in a world of disrespect, and even sometimes believers are disrespectful, but let us look to the Lord and ask Him to be merciful to us and mold us, as we have seen these examples here, which have been shown to us by grace. Praise and thanks be to our Lord. Amen. I believe we still want to take time to offer the Lord honor and worship. Let us rise to do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you together for your precious and holy word, for the message you have given through your servant and prophet. With respect, Lord, we look at these things that you, Lord, have told us. It shows us who had respect and those who had no respect. O Lord, we know that it is the same in our day, but give us together as your people, Lord, true respect for one another, for your word, and for your messenger, for everything, Lord. My God, give us grace that we may also have respect for our neighbor and for all people, Lord, before the authorities, my God. Make of us true people who believe you with all their heart, and give us this respect, O Lord, faithful Lord. I need it so much. My God, you know my heart. I will not exalt myself, but your servant, your prophet said, you must always consider yourselves much lower than you are. Never be great in your own eyes. And if you are great, let someone else say so of you. Do as the woman did. Faithful God, give us grace that we may humble ourselves at all times, that we may not appear great in our own eyes, O God. Help us to do this, Lord. Thank you for this precious message that you have given us by grace. Lord, where would we be today if you had not called us, if you had not drawn us, if you had not brought us here? It was your hand, Lord, that led and guided us to be here together. I pray for my brothers and sisters. Bless all, O God, help all. Lord, you know our hearts. You know we are human, forgetful and weak, Lord. Sometimes our mouth speaks something that should not be. O God, forgive us. My God, have mercy on us, Lord. Help us in these last days. We know the enemy is out, Lord. He wants to destroy us. He wants to scatter us. He wants us to quarrel. He wants to split, Lord. My God, grant grace that we may look one another in the eye, Lord, love one another, cherish one another, O God, and respect one another, O Lord. My God, take all malice out of each one, O Lord. All bitterness, my God. That's my prayer tonight, Lord. Let it happen. Don't let the enemy have the right to your people, O Lord, my God. But let us emerge victorious as you have emerged victorious, O Lord. Praise be to your marvelous and glorious name. I worship you, O Lord, and praise your grace. Hallelujah. Receive the honor, receive the praise and worship. In Jesus' name. Amen.